But this is a day that every church gathers around the world, and it is the day that that has an instant open heaven. Are you guys with me? And you know, you're here on a public holiday. Like I said, while the world is taking this to relax and rest, they do not understand the significance of this day. This is what sets Christianity apart from every single other religion. No other religion has anybody died for their people, and we don't even have to speak about them resurrecting themselves. And when Jesus went to the cross, when Pilate said to him and spoke to him about his death and said how he can get him free, and that he has the authority to either let him go or not, Jesus said these words. He says, listen, Pilate, or just to inform you, you don't have the authority to take my life. He said, I alone have the authority to lay down my life and to pick it back up again. Which means that Jesus resurrected himself in essence. Are you guys with me? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But him, the Holy Spirit, and the Father is one. He had the power to lay down his life. He gave up the ghost. When he was on the cross, the Bible says he gave up the ghost, the Holy Ghost. He gave up his spirit, and he entrusted it into the hands. So he alone laid down his life, and he picked it up again. That is what sets it apart from any other religion, from any other cult. Are you guys with me? What makes this is, it is the cross and the resurrection that verifies and credifies Christianity. It is the verification of Christianity. We don't serve him because he gives us good principles. We don't worship him because there's good stories in the Bible, or he gives us good principles, or he made us rich. We worship him and I worship him because he saved us, but because he rose again. Are you guys with me? He died upon the cross and he rose again. That gives the credibility to Christianity, and it proves everything. It was the fulfillment of many prophecies. Are you guys with me? Why is that? Is it sticky because they messed the stuff? Okay. So it's like, it's okay. So so those who are watching us online, I trust you cannot get to a church, and that your only means of gathering is by watching us online. Because it's important. A local church is important. You know, I know that everything is going hybrid. We have a lot of people. We have not one, you know, when we take up a visionary fund, when Pastor Chris was speaking earlier, we have to build buildings because that's the base. The local church will never be removed. It doesn't matter what persecution is in the country. You can even go to China. The church is still there. So they can never remove the church. If it is persecuted, they'll go into underground. But it is also moving hybrid, and we have found that a large portion of our income comes from online, number one. You know, which it's not just because of its of income that we're focusing on that, but there's a large group of people that considers themselves part of our church because of online. Every Sunday, we have over 1,000 people watching. Every Sunday, once a Sunday. And, you know, it is when we have online services, we have over 6,000 people watching. When we saw people from over 60 different nations, over 6,000 people watching with the latest conference we had, in which was an online conference. We had people from every nation that you can think of, nations that I couldn't pronounce, that said they watch us regularly. So God has taken the times that we are in and not just made it a church where, with most churches, if they understand the times and the seasons, that it's not just a local church with a city. He has extended our borders. Wherever you go in South Africa, in the Christian world, they know about Encounter. And it is because of broadcasting. So when we take up a vision fund, obviously the primary focus is the building of buildings and to get that established. You can't really have proper broadcast without that. But and then we cannot neglect broadcasting. So that is why we do spend a lot of money into it. Cape Town just got their new building. Now, I think it was this week. And that is... they got about a... I think it's about a 600 or 700 seater, and so they moved into there. So it is growing, and it is growing fast. And there it was because also they didn't have space. When we had conferences there, it was packed. And we'll have a conference there again in June this month. After our conference, we'll have Pentecost here, then Centurion, and then Cape Town. But, you know, so say with me the blood. I want to see how we can get this message through. I don't want to keep you long this morning. We'll be finished possibly just before 10. I want it, you know, it is not, this morning isn't really to move in demonstration and to minister. We have that every Sunday. I want to get the word through to you, the power of the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. What is the difference? What is it in blood that makes it special? What is it in blood that allows it to, if I can say it like that, that that allows a person to, that when they lose their blood, they lose their life. Or when they're in hospital, that they'll take somebody else's blood, put it in them, and then life will return to them. What is it in blood that kings in the Old Testament could kill and sacrifice their own children, sons? So one king took his son, put it, killed and sacrificed his son, hanged him on the wall. An evil king, and he won the battle. What is it in blood that the occult or Satanists would use sacrificial rituals by the shedding of blood, and it will carry power, sometimes even more power than what Christians carry? Are you guys with me? Because how many Christians do we have that comes to us and say, oh, they've been cursed by this one and cursed by that one? And I'm thinking, who has the power to curse you? If you understand the revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life, you're saying that somebody else's blood that is being shed to curse you is greater than the blood of Christ. I have never allowed myself to come under the curse. We've had, listen, when we ministered out, I remember when we traveled through Krugersdorp and we did itinerant ministry all over, and they would send us pictures how they were shedding blood and cutting themselves and making rituals against us that night while we were having a good time in the Holy Ghost. But I had a revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ, that if I say that, oh, that Satanist is shedding blood, or that one cut an animal to do a ritual against me, you gotta be kidding me. But Christians come, this one has put a curse on me, that one has put a curse on me, and we pray for them because they are weak in faith. So the fact that we pray for them and do deliverance doesn't make us wrong. It just makes them weak in faith. It comes by revelation to understand what the blood of Christ carries. Are you guys with me? So yes, blood is powerful. Even the blood of humans is powerful before the blood, because like I said, there were sacrifices before Christ went to the cross. And because of that blood that was shed, something was done. In fact, when I think it was the scripture says that God said, the Lord said that this famine is coming because of the blood that was shed in Saul's house. So we see blood that is shed causing a famine. So there's power in a blood, in blood. Can we agree to that? Go with me to Genesis 4 verse, let's read from verse 1, Genesis 4 verse 1. What is it in blood? It's called the mystery of the blood. Let me read to you, before I go to Genesis 4, let's rather go to, put on the screen for you, Leviticus 17 verse 11. Say with me, blood. What is it in the blood that allows it to have power, where the enemy can have power and can own somebody through a blood covenant? Or if there's too much bloodshed in a country, that you see judgment beginning to come, whether it is abortion or whether it is wars or murder or whatever it might be. Why is abortion wicked? Why do some people think, or some people, and even Christians, and this is, they just think it's just an abortion. It is the shedding of blood that brings a curse. There are people that are being under a curse Because, and I'm not speaking of a curse of somebody shedding blood and speaking a curse over them. I'm saying being cursed by God. Because there's bloodshed in their lives without them knowing it. Just because I am ignorant of it doesn't mean that it's not active. Are you guys with me? Many Christians operate in bloodshed through gossip and slander. Okay. For the Leviticus 17 verse 11, listen to this. Say with me, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Listen to this. The scripture is saying, I have given you something to put on the altar to clean your souls. So the blood has power to clean your soul. Are you guys with me? What is it that if you get wounded, but the moment you bleed or internal bleeding, death is possible, is a possibility? Because say with me, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means that the moment I take blood and I do a blood covenant with somebody, it is my life for their life. It represents life and it carries life. The blood is the vehicle of your spirit. I'm going to say it again. The blood is the vehicle of your spirit. That is why it was such a great or such a strong law against the drinking of blood in the Old Testament. It was the same as eating a person. God saw the same. It was a life for a life. Blood for blood. Are you guys with me? If the message, I trust that the message don't offend you. But say with me, the blood of Christ. Let's go Genesis 4 verse 1. Genesis 4 verse 1. Listen to this. Now Adam and Eve, his wife, and she... Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now go with me one back. Go with me another one back. Listen to this. It says, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. So did the fruit of the ground. So we see no blood in there. Next verse. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Firstborn of the flock. So we see blood. And the Lord respected the blood, respected Abel and his offering. Why? Because the blood required a life, which means that it was a higher sacrifice. Are you guys with me? So Abel's offering immediately represented a higher sacrifice to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn, Abel and his offering. Next verse. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry and his countenance fell. The moment the Bible says their countenance fell, and then it has another phrase called the lifting up of your countenance or the lifting up of your eyes. When it speaks of the lifting, you must understand there are spiritual terminology in scripture. So when it says lifting up of eyes, when the Bible says that Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw a ram caught in a thicket bush. The lifting up of eyes doesn't mean that Abraham lifted physically and saw, oh, he like lifted his head. It doesn't mean that. It means an opening of spiritual eyes. Every context that the scripture speaks of the lifting up of eyes is speaking of where the Lord is saying, lift up your eyes because I want you to see something. Meaning that when Abraham was on the mountain and he lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in a bush, that his provision was caught in a place, but because his eyes was closed spiritually, he couldn't see the breakthrough that God had right in front of his eyes. And many believers has a veil over their eyes where they are unable to see the blessings that God has for them. Are you guys with me? But the blood, say with me, the blood is the first step in piercing the veil, in tearing the veil. It is the blood that made a way into the Holy of Holies. It is the blood that made a way for us to go into the place where the high priest went into. It is by his blood that we were brought near to him. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So people can't understand or cannot see the blessing of God because their eyes are dimmed spiritually. Eli's eyes was dimmed. And he didn't see what his sons was getting up to. Or he allowed them to because he was sitting in a place of dull spiritual sight. He could only see a certain distance in the spirit. Are you guys with me? Everything is spiritual. Life is spiritual. That I think, like, let's say my business is not doing well. But you know you're doing everything. There's a spiritual aspect to it. Never underestimate this. The difference between the West and the East, the Westernized civilization and Easternized civilization, is that the West has made everything about logic and reason and removed the Spirit of God out of it and removed spiritual matter out of a situation or spiritual understanding out of a situation. So you'll see, I have a friend, Pastor Vlad, in the States, and we were speaking the other day, and we were speaking about how casting out demons in Africa is done in a different way than what it is done in the United States. Because in the United States, you deal with demons, but you deal more with demons of reason and logic. And it is dealt with truth first, where in South Africa or Africa or Eastern countries, if I can put it like that, it is dealt with power first. And then the truth. And if you try to bring truth only and not power in a place like Africa or Eastern countries, you're not going to be able to deal with a person. But if you take power only in the United States and not truth first, they don't want to deal with it because that demon is a stronghold that wants truth to replace a lie. A stronghold is a lie. Are you guys with me? But so the Westernized civilization has brought in this reason and logic. And if anybody has ever, if you've been in the United States, I've ministered there a lot, you would deal with a spirit in a church. It's a political religious spirit. I don't know how to put it. You have these, it's a political thing. You have these people sitting in the church and it's like they feel like they own the church, they own the pastor. But it's political. It's a very strange spirit. You can't even articulate it in words. But it's a logic and reason only. And logic and reason resists the supernatural. You cannot flow with the Holy Ghost when you try to work out things by logic or reason only. Are you guys with me? Logic and reason is one of the deactivators of faith. It is one of the deactivators of the power of God. It is an enemy to the anointing. The Bible says that the Pharisees, when they were in the house where Jesus was teaching, and the house became full, and the power of God was present to heal in the atmosphere, that they reasoned within their hearts as to why this could be, or how could this miracle take place with the four friends that brought their friend. How can this miracle take place, this healing? But they reasoned, say with me, reasoned. In their hearts, meaning they try to logically and by reason work out what a supernatural God can do. Are you guys with me? The moment I try to work out God, or the moment I try to work out why people are falling over, why deliverances are taking place, why is demons screaming out, it is your logic and your reason that resists and holds your deliverance from taking place. I've seen people where their reputation or their real, they would try to work out and think, but no, this is impossible and this and that. You're trying to naturalize God. Or you're trying to naturalize miracles. You're trying to naturalize the working of the Spirit. The blood, as much as what it is physical, it is a spiritual entity. As much as what it is physical, it is a spiritual entity. God has created certain spiritual creatures. If I can put it like that. Entities. Water is one of them. Believe it or not, electricity is one of them. And then blood is the other. Are you guys with me? We can show you electricity in the book of Job, but we won't for now. So where were we? Let's put the scripture on. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. His spiritual sight closed. He began to lose revelation and understanding. Are you guys with me? So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. God already gave him a warning here of what is going to happen. Are you guys with me? He basically, the Lord saw that Cain was going to kill Abel. And he gave him a warning and said, listen, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Sin, listen. Isn't it amazing that after Adam fell, God still told Cain he has the ability to rule over sin. After sin became the rule over Adam, God still said there's a way out. How did Abraham become a friend of God? Because he believed. Are you guys with me? Something that Gentiles could not do at that, which was not allowed to them at that time. Yet because he believed, and by faith, he became a friend. And God brought him near. Which means that he tapped into something that was not available in that time. Even though Adam fell, God said, listen, there's still a way out. Otherwise, sin will lie at the door and will rule over you. Next verse. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? It's not like God didn't know, but he was asking something. The Lord was actually speaking about a spiritual location. Are you guys with me? He was dead, but he wanted to know if Abel understands if Abel understands the technicality behind death and where Abel is right now. Because listen to what the scripture is going to say. He says, where is your Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The word there, I do not know, is yada. Meaning I don't have a revelation of what you're speaking about, the spiritual aspect of what you're asking me. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? Okay, am I my brother's keeper? Next verse. Flow with me, guys, in the back. Don't keep it on the same one if I'm finished with it. And he said, what have you done? The voice, say with me, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. I'm going to say it again. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. That means blood has a voice and it has the ability to cry out. Even though you are dead, it can speak on your behalf. Are you guys with me? There's a thing called, spiritual hematology, meaning that you have, it is the branch of the study of medicine. And you have certain blood groups. You've got group A, group AB, group B, I think group O. I'm not exactly sure what they all is, but you have those blood groups. And this is what we call hematology, but in the same way you have spiritual hematology. There are spiritual blood groups. There are spiritual workings of the blood. Where God looks at blood, and even though a person is dead, the blood has a voice. Because the life of that person is in the blood. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the mystery of the blood. Go with me to Romans 5 verse 12. Romans 5 verse 12. Listen to this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Say with me, death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sin. So he says, the moment sin enters, death comes in. So the only way Jesus could have dealt with sin is by bringing life. And the way he could bring life was by the shedding of his blood upon the cross. It's not just giving his life, it's shedding of the blood, where in the blood life was carried. So when you speak of the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to begin to have a revelation of what the blood carries. When I say that I put the blood over my house, or I put the blood, and I'll get into that just now, what it carries. Are you guys with me? It required him to shed his blood to deal with sin, because sin allowed death to come in. And for sin to be dealt with, life had to come in. Somebody's life had to be given that was sinless, that didn't allow death to come into their lives, whose blood was pure. That blood had to be shed. So say with the blood groups. So as you have a natural blood group, group A, group A, B, group O, group A, group B, whatever you have a spiritual blood groups. According to scripture, we see how you have the blood, and I can go through 10, 11, 12 of them. You have the blood of prophets. I'll get to that now. Are you guys with me? You have accidental blood. You have the blood of suicide. You have the blood of war, meaning the blood that was shed in war, the blood that was shed in suicide, meaning that after that person is dead, that blood speaks, and it goes into a place called the heavenly courts. We're going to read in the book of Revelation just now, where that blood comes up before the throne of God, and he answers that blood. The blood of Abel spoke, which we call a shouting and a crying blood. Are you guys with me? Then you have the blood of guilt, the blood of murder, the innocent blood. You have accidental blood. You have neutral blood. There are many different types of blood groups, meaning that it will determine what the punishment will be for that. You have righteous blood. So with your righteous blood, meaning that the moment that the blood of the righteous is shed, the Bible says that it says that a good man may give his life. A righteous man may even give, may even do this. But then it speaks of Christ that gave his own life while we were his enemies. Are you guys with me? Give me that verse. I think it's Romans 5, verse 5. I think so. Just give it to me. Say with you the mystery of the blood. So this is the mystery of the blood. That how, when Abel is dead, that there's a voice that is crying out on his behalf of the blood. Are you guys with me? And that God can hear that and answer or bring a judgment according to it. That even though Abel thought he was hiding it from everybody that knew him, the blood cried out to God. 5:10. Put it on Romans 5:10. No, go one back. I'm looking for something. Go one back. Yeah, here we go. So for scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. And while we were still sinners, he died for us. Verse 10 says, while we were his enemies, he died for us. Are you guys with me? But then you have the blood of the righteous. That the moment that a righteous person's blood is shed, that God will avenge it. Are you guys with me? Go back for me to Genesis 4, where we were, verse 8. I want you to... And I'm trying just to lay a foundation before I kind of like get into the crux of the message, which I want to be finished by 10. So listen to this. Verse 9, let's go to verse 9. Verse 10. So he says, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Next verse, listen to this. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer, say with me, no longer healed. It shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Meaning that the moment the blood of Abel fell on the ground and the blood's voice began to cry out, the nature and what the productivity of the ground is began to change to a place of fruitfulness to fruitlessness for Cain. The moment blood touched the ground because of Cain, when Cain murdered Abel, when that blood touched the ground, the nature of the ground changed. The productivity and the results that it will yield changed. Meaning that the moment the blood touches something, whether it is the blood of Christ or the blood of a person, that is why in the occult, they will come and put blood in your house. Or they'll put blood somewhere. The way we anoint something, they will use blood. Why? It carries power. Are you guys with me? But when the blood of Christ comes, where the Bible says it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. When you put the blood on your marriage can change. When you put the blood on your finances can change. When you put the blood on your business, what does it mean to put your blood? Does it mean I stand and I say, I plead the blood? No, it means to bring God into that aspect of my life. To submit that area of my life to God fully. Then the blood comes in by faith. Say with me, by faith. A lot of people are like, I plead the blood on my car. No, nothing is happening. If you're in the car and you're cursing and you're singing all these songs and you're using it to, I mean, it's not, that area is not submitted to God. When you got it by ill means, are you guys with me? A lot of people run a business and everything about the thing is illegal. They don't pay their taxes, and I'm not speaking of being wise. I'm just speaking of they really avoid taxes. They're doing this, things underhandedly. They will have a lack of integrity with people, with business, because everybody has a moral compass. And the moment you cross that line of integrity, you're guilty. Now, your moral compass can be skewed also, but at the moment you cross that, you become guilty. And your business is no longer yielded to God. Are you guys with me? So it's not a matter of just standing and saying, I plead the blood. It's like people are saying, you know, they own a house and they want you to come and bind principalities and have spiritual warfare. But you own the house. The devil is not allowed on there. The quickest way to spiritual warfare is to buy the thing and own it and make it yours. It becomes your property. Are you guys with me? So don't be one of those that say, I plead the blood over this, I plead the blood. Just, it is a thing that is done by faith, that you have submitted that area to God. Is your marriage yielded to Him? Is your business yielded to Him? Is your social life yielded to Him? Is your personal life yielded to Him? Is your finances yielded to Him? Because where it is not, the blood is not there to protect. And once it is there, it has the ability to change the nature and the fruits and the results that thing yields. The blood, as much as what it is natural, it is spiritual. Jesus' physical blood was shed on the cross, but His spiritual blood is upon us, and it still speaks on our behalf today. That is the way it is alive. You know, Reinhard Bonnke said, our sins are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We all know that. But I can't, how does it do that? I can't stand in a shower and look at the soap and say, okay, soap, wash me. The way I say, okay, I plead the blood over this. No, how do I do it? I have an action. I take the soap. I apply it on my body and I wash myself. Are you guys with me? The blood, I have to take it and appropriate it and put it upon my life. How do I do it? Say with me, by faith, by confession and by faith. By confession mixed with faith, trusting in God, yielding and giving something to Him. Are you guys with me? Otherwise, I stand and say, I yield my finances. I plead the blood over my finances, but I never tithe. The blood cannot do its full work. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the blood. Go there to Revelation 6, verse 9. The voice of the blood. When He opened, listen to this, when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. The souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is the blood of the righteous. Are you guys with me? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge? Say with me, judge. Meaning that there's a heavenly court where your blood speaks long after your death. And God will avenge. And it says, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Go with me to Luke 11 verse 49. Are you guys with me? You sound so reserved on a Friday morning. Luke 11 verse 49. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets. Say with me, prophets and apostles. So you have the blood of prophets and apostles. And some of them they will kill and persecute. Wait, go back one verse. Let me read again. Therefore, say with me, the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God, the scripture is saying. That I will send them prophets and apostles so that they can kill and persecute them. This is the wisdom of God. He's saying, okay, wait, I'm operating in my realm of wisdom. Let me send prophets and apostles to that city so that the people can kill them. The wisdom of God will sound foolish. Next verse. That the blood, so that the moment they kill them, that the blood of all the prophets in the Old Testament, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This is what we call the connection when it comes to blood. He says, there's blood that has been spilled of prophets in the Old Testament. They were killed, persecuted, stoned. Their blood was shed. And the moment is, and the wisdom of God says, let me send them more prophets. So that I know they're going to kill these prophets also. And the moment they are killed, they are connected to the sins and the blood of all the prophets. And then I can avenge and destroy this generation. So God was sitting and thinking, how can I wipe out a generation without violating my own laws? Literally, it's the wisdom of God. I cannot violate my law. But the moment they tap into what we call the connection of blood, meaning there can be family in your life before your life that has were part of bloodshed, and it is required from your life. Are you guys with me? Unless the blood of Christ has done its full work. So this is where I speak about a curse from God upon a person. That usually it is for those who are not believers. Are you guys with me? It is what we call the curse of God. Go with me to Hebrews 12 verse 22. Hebrews 12 verse 22. Before we go, you can keep it up. But the blood of the prophets, meaning that the blood shed by our forefathers, that we can suffer for it now. Unless I have the blood of Christ. And what does it mean to have the blood of Christ? When the blood does its full work in your life, it cleanses your conscience from dead works. It means it opens up and it brings you into the throne of grace. Are you guys with me? In need of mercy. It can make you stand boldly before the throne room of God. Meaning the blood allows you to stand in front of God boldly. Cleansed, knowing that your conscience is cleansed from dead works. Do you know why people cannot feel the presence of God? Because their conscience and their subconscious is still tainted. The blood has not done its full work. The blood cleanses your conscience from dead works. The moment I overstep a line in an area of sin in my life, and everybody has certain boundaries and rules that are different from others, that is called our conscience. The moment I overstep it, my conscience is tainted and it blocks me from entering into the presence of God. Are you guys with me? The moment, and then you have those that are saying, but I don't even feel what is the line of my conscience, because your conscience has never been saved. So you can't differentiate what is bad or what is not. Your conscience is still, your salvation has not done its full work in you. You see, the moment you're saved and the blood comes, it cleanses your conscience. When you have a clean conscience, you now have the ability to understand, but I'm overstepping a line here. But before that, I mean, how much people in the world know they're overstepping a line? Their conscience is dead. They have a conscience, but it's an unbelieving. It's the measuring tool is not the word of God. The measuring tool is not the spirit of life. The measuring tool is their own measure. In America, you got LGBTQ as the measuring tool. So there's no measuring tool to determine what is right or wrong. Are you guys with me? But the moment you get saved, the blood cleanses your conscience. Now it creates a standard for when you overstep your conscience. Obviously, the word of God comes in, but let's just take to your conscience. And the moment you overstep, you know, something in you just tells you you're sinning. You don't even have to. Nobody has to tell you. I don't have to tell any born-again, spirit-filled Christian that if they watch pornography, it's a sin. As I said, what has determined sin? We cannot even get on it. We naturalize it then. But their conscience, sin is when I overstep your conscience. It's called a transgression. You transgress. Are you guys with me? And the moment you do it, you know, but wait, this is where I need the blood. Or you step back. Your conscience tells you, no, don't do it, and you step back. And then it requires repentance. But many people's conscience hasn't been clean. And you're sitting here and your conscience hasn't been clean. And you don't know, but you say, but I don't feel anything. I just feel dead. It's called a slumbering spirit. You just feel dead. Because you haven't been awakened by the blood of Christ. You haven't appropriated it, built a relationship with God with it. Meaning that I can't just expect the blood to clean me and then just go on with my normal life. No, there are certain requirements. Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself. You cannot be my disciple, he says, unless you forsake all. You can, meaning there's requirements to follow Christ. It is not a free for all where I'm just like, okay, I give my life to Christ at an altar call and I go and there's no change in my life. It means the repentance was not godly. But when the blood has its full work, we can begin now. If we have to raise the blood in this place and begin to pray, you'll have people manifesting right even at the back with this thing, from the front to the back. We did it here a few weeks ago. Meaning that when the blood comes into the place, when you preach on the blood, people get uncomfortable. Devils manifest. Because it is the blood that has power. If you do a deliverance and a demon has come forth, is come to the forefront of the person. And you can be a Christian, you can say light and nothing happens. The moment you say the blood of Jesus, that devil will scream. You cannot deny these things unless you have seen deliverance or you have been involved in it. That's what I'm saying. Some people live such a boring Christianity. They've never set somebody free. They've never helped somebody with their deliverance. They've never been used by the Lord. Are you guys with me? They're just there, barely making it, not even knowing whether they're going to heaven or not. The blood, let it cleanse your conscience. Let your conscience be like a child, innocent. That you're too scared to do something wrong. Not trying to think, what can I do wrong? But it's like your conscience is so pure that you're too scared to do this or to do that. Lest you offend the one whose blood was spilled for you that cleansed your conscience. Then there's another type of bloodshed that I'll not get into, where it says that we trample the blood of Christ. But let me not get into that one. Let's go to Hebrews 12 verse 22. Hebrews 12 verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the, now listen to this, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood, say with you, the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Meaning it is no longer the blood of bulls and goats that has been shed for us, but it is the blood of Christ. And if the blood of bulls and goats could have set people free from sin in the old covenant, how much more can the blood of Christ not heal you, not set you free, not save you, or clean your dead conscience? It speaks, say with me, better things. There are better things that the blood speaks to you. Meaning when Jesus died, his blood is speaking for you today. It's crying out deliverance. It's crying out healing. It's crying out victory. Say with me, the blood. I don't know if you're appreciative of this morning. Say with me, the blood. That is what makes the difference in Christianity. It's the blood of Christ. Have you seen it? Are you guys with me? What makes the difference? You can't say in the name of Allah, be clean. Nobody's conscience can be cleaned. Yet you can take somebody, take one prayer with them, where they mean it out of their hearts, and their conscience will be as clean and as innocent as a child's. It's the blood of Christ. No man can change another person's heart. What makes the heart from a murderer go to a preacher? From a murderer to a preacher. What makes Saul, a murderer, becoming a preacher? Are you guys with me? What makes somebody that is a drug addict, that loves sin, that loves everything about the world, they hate people, they may be angry, scream, getting into fights, yet one touch of the blood, all of a sudden, they want to make right with everyone that they've hurt. They want to seek more of God. And there are so many Christians in the church today that doesn't carry the blood on their lives. Their conscience is still alive, still dead works, it's still alive in the world. Their conscience hasn't been cleaned by the blood. Are you guys with me? Say with me, the blood of Christ. So what better things does it speak? Say with me, better things. Number one, it speaks that we can come into the Holy of Holies. And I'm not going to get into the scripture verses just for the sake of time. I want to get to another point. Number two, say with me, overcoming. It speaks victory. It says that we have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the fact that we do not love our lives unto death. Are you guys with me? So it brings an overcoming. But thirdly, say with me, redemption. Go Ephesians 1 verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. So the blood carries and it speaks a better thing. It speaks the ability for you to be redeemed by the power of the blood. Meaning it carries a redeeming power in it. The blood as a vehicle is a vehicle of your spirit. But the blood of Christ carries a redemptive power. Are you guys with me? It is the ability to redeem something. So with your redemption, I want to close off with this. What is the meaning of redemption? And I'm going to try to do this quick. What is the meaning of redemption? Because it has four meanings. Number one, in the Oxford English Dictionary, before I get into the Greek, it means to buy back. To redeem means redeem. Meaning it is to buy back something that you had before. Are you guys with me? To purchase something you once had. Or to restore something to its original state. It means to release something from bondage. Or to regain possession of something. In exchange for a payment. Are you guys with me? So when they would buy slaves in the Old Testament. Okay, sorry, in the New Testament, the early church. When slave trade was rampant, when they would purchase a slave, they would scream or say, the moment they purchased the slave, they would say redeem, if it is translated to English. And then they would get the slave. Are you guys with me? It is a it is called redemption. So redemption has four Greek words. I want you You can write this down. You can write this down. It's very simple. It's actually difficult, but you're not going to remember it. I know people are thinking Easter eggs and all this stuff right now, or what good food they're going to have. We'll finish just now. I said to my trainer that I'll stick to everything, food, right foods and everything, except for during Easter time when they sell Easter eggs. That's the time that I cheat. So, four Greek words. Say with me, agorizo. It's difficult. I know if you don't know, you don't know how to spell it, but agorizo. Agorizo literally means it means slave market. That's it. It actually means to investigate and to redeem, but it means to investigate and slave market. That's what the word agorizo means in the Greek. So what did you have in the early churches? You had slaves, and when these slaves would be purchased, they would stand. It was very cruel and gruesome. So the slave owners or those who are selling them would have them, and then new owners want to come and purchase the slave. So they would take the head of the slave and bend it backwards and see how it moves. Then look at its teeth, open the mouth of a slave, look at its teeth the moment there is just to see that the slave is healthy in its teeth. And then they would begin, the second thing what they would do, they would begin to hit and kick the slave to see how resilient the slave is. And then they would, the third thing they would do is they would begin to slap the slave through the face continually as long as they can, and spit in his face, and to see how long they can resist before they get angry. And then they would purchase the slave. And the word that they used for the slave market in those days was agorizo. Are you guys with me? So agorizo literally means, it means to purchase a slave. It means to redeem a slave. But meaning that Paul says these words, and I'm not going to go to all the scripture verses, but Paul says that we have become slaves to sin before we were saved. That we were owned by the enemy, by the devil, as slaves to sin on a slave market, and that Christ came to set us free. And the Bible says that we were bought with a price, that our life is no longer our own. We were purchased with a price. Are you guys with me? So agorizo is that. Then the second Greek word is what we call ex agorizo. So redemption has four Greek words. The first one is agorizo. It means slave market. The second Greek word means ex agorizo. It means ex means out of, and then agorizo, slave market. So it means to be taken out of the slave market. So we see that number one, Jesus came when he says that we have been redeemed by the blood, that we have been investigated by him, like how they would investigate a slave. And then we have been found worthy by him. And then we have been taken out of the slave market, ex agorizo. So the blood not only investigates, it actually takes you out. Are you guys with me? Say with me, ex agorizo. So as I said, we have been bought with a price. Get with me to Galatians 3 verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us. Say with me, Christ has redeemed me. So he has agorizo and he has ex agorizo me from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Go next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Go, so, ex agorizo, meaning that we have been bought with a price. But what price did Jesus pay for us? Go with me. So the third, well, let me explain this. The third Greek word for redemption is what we call literu. Literu. I know it's a bit difficult to spell. I think it is L-U-T-R-O-O. Literu. Literu. Latru means a purchase price. It literally means a ransom. Are you guys with me? So we see how the blood has come and investigate us. Then it has brought us out of the slave market. But the way it has brought us out of the slave market is that there was an exchange of transaction, or a transaction of money, an exchange of finances that has been taking place. It's a ransom price that has been paid for you. Are you guys with me? Literally. But what is that price? Say with me, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Meaning that Jesus didn't come and shed his blood. He gave his life up willfully in the most gruesome pain that you could have ever thought of. Are you guys with me? Where the Bible says he was beaten beyond recognition. That even if his own mother would look at him, she would not recognize that it is a son. He was beaten beyond recognition. But he had to go through that. And even him, as he was 100% human and 100% God, he was sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means the place of the crushing of the olive, where his life was crushed. He was sweating and he was dropping blood as he was sweating. And I wanted to preach on the seven places where the blood speaks for us. And the first one, but I mean, that was before I prepared for this message, was where the blood would drop. The first place the blood was shed was when it dropped and it fell on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. The place where Jesus says, not my will. He said to the Lord, he says, take this cup away from me. I am not prepared to drink of the cup that you have for me. Are you guys with me? But then he says, not my will, but your will be done. So say with me, litru. And it means, as I said, the purchase price, which is very expensive. It is the life of Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Go with me to Titus 2 verse 14. Titus 2 verse 14. Listen to this. Who gave himself for us, that he gave himself for us while we, and I want you to understand this, while we were his enemies. None of us here were in love with Christ before you got saved. Are you guys with me? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, every transgression, every dead work we have done, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So it is zealous for good works. The moment the blood comes on you, there's a zealousness that comes in you to do things for Christ. If that is not there, it is one of the signs that a person is not saved. Are you guys with me? So the fourth word, it's a little bit difficult. The fourth word, Greek word, and this is the last one. So the apollotrosis. Okay, that is an apollotrosis. You can spell it however you want to spell it. I'm not here to put it on the screen and stuff like that. It's not a teaching really per se to that degree where I want you to remember all these things. But apollotrosis. Apollotrosis is a word. It's a very simple word. But it means to return back. So the blood has come to first investigate you and then to bring you out of the slave market. And as it's bringing you out of the slave market, it pays a purchasing price. It redeems you by the life of Christ that the blood carries. Are you guys with me? So it's a life for a life. It's blood for blood. And he purchased us with a purchase price, which is litru. Then the fourth word means to bring you back and to return back to your original state. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Romans 8 verse 17. I'll close off with this. Romans 8 verse 17. Say with me, original state. Let me also get... Romans 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs, say with me, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Go with me to 1 John 4 verse 17. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4 verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. How has love been perfected? That we may have boldness. Say with me, boldness. In the day of judgment. How do I get boldness in the day of judgment? By having the blood of Christ upon me. The Bible says that the blood will give me boldness to enter the throne room for a time, for grace in a time of need. Are you guys with me? That you enter and stand in front of God to know that I can attain grace for the moment that I need it. It is the blood that brings me into that place. It is the blood that gives me confidence. It is the blood that makes me stand in front of him, knowing that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that my sins has been removed as far as the east is from the west. Now listen to this. Let's say with you, love has been perfected. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet wherever you are. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, say with me, as he is, so are we in this world. Meaning that when the blood came, it is returning you to an original state of existence. Who you were long before you were born. The identity and the person that God has ordained you to be. Are you guys with me? The person that Adam was before he fell. And the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. What does the blood do? It conforms you. It brings you to a place of changing you into the image of Christ.